Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
We'll talk to Ray about the Warriors' 110-97 win over the Spurs in San Antonio, putting the Warriors up 3-0 in the series. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors are up 3-0 now on the San Antonio Spurs, and I guess you could say we're not totally surprised, although the way the Warriors were playing at the end of the regular season, and that's the last time we did a Dubs OT podcast, you know, it wasn't looking so great, and people wondered, are they going to be able to flip the switch? Well, apparently they can, especially on defense, because that, to me, that's where it starts, especially when you're playing without Steph Curry, and they have really clamped down defensively in the series against San Antonio, so things are looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, consider the switch flipped, and as you said, especially defensively. And that's what happens when you get more days off between playoff games. You know, the schedule gets kind of stretched out now, and that's big, especially for veteran players. They can kind of get their legs under them, and that's been the one standout aspect of their game from minute one of this series has been the defense.
Absolutely, and right away, you know, the Warriors decided that they were going to start Andre Iguodala, and that really has paid dividends. And he's playing some, you know, pretty good minutes. You wondered how he would react to it, but I think they rested him enough during the season that he has reacted well. Now, nobody was shooting the ball from three very well early on. You know, the Warriors rebounded a lot in the second half, but for a while there, neither team could shoot a three, and that included Iguodala. And then, you know, all of a sudden it seemed like some more were starting to drop. You know, Klay Thompson found his rhythm a little bit, but I don't know. This is a series where the Warriors don't even really need to shoot the three as much as they normally do because, like I said, I mean, they're playing such good defense.
They're shooting 64% from inside the arc this game, in game three. So there's really no reason to when you're shooting at that level, but they are, you know, a team that's loaded with guys who are adept at shooting from three. What's been key also is San Antonio's missed a bunch of shots from three. And Steve Kerr said it after game two, he felt like they were fortunate that had San Antonio made a more normal percentage than, say, 4 of 28, then they might have been in big trouble in game two. But that didn't happen. And I think also you've got some guys who are a little bit long in the tooth, and they get later in the season and they get in the postseason. Legs aren't there for the jump shot. Manu Ginobili, who's just, he may be at the end of his career. Game four might be his last game. You know, great, great player. But, you know, his shot is off. Just about everybody's shot is off, as a matter of fact, for San Antonio. And that's been a big part of it as well. But the defense has been there. Draymond was tremendous tonight. Kevon Looney was tremendous. You know, Andre Iguodala, and you mentioned starting him in game one. That was the key moment I thought the whole series. They said to Quinn Cook, you know, we're not going to throw you into the frying pan just yet. They get him in with the second unit and put a little pressure off of him. Iguodala can run the offense. He brings some stability, some savvy, and length. And also, he's got fresh legs, as does Sean Livingston, who had 16 points in game three, looked real good until Patty Mills went kamikaze on him.
Yeah.
But that was ridiculous. I'm sorry. That was reminded me of another St. Mary's guard. Let's put it that way. That particular play, that was, he was not going to get that ball. That was ridiculous, but we'll get to that later. But Iguodala has been great in this series, especially at the defensive end. they got a bunch of guys who are tremendously long, Looney, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, and JaVale McGee. And, you know, San Antonio's struggling to find offense.
I'll tell you what, McGee, something has gotten into him on the offensive side. I mean, I know he's worked really hard because it just seemed to me, Ray, that he was a lot clumsier earlier on in his Warriors career. And just little by little, he's got a lot better balance when he catches the ball. He figures out a way to get to the rim now. It used to be you just hoped that he would be able to hang on to the basketball. It's not just lobs now that he's scoring on. He's improved his game. I mean, and it definitely means a lot to have a guy like that in the middle with his size that can contribute and not turn the ball over.
Well, the difference here between him and Zaza, and Zaza hasn't seen any time in this series, is his activity, his ability to create a little bit. Yeah, they're leaving him alone, but you do that, and he's available coming in the backside for the lob. He's also been able to score in a few drives to the bucket. And it's just the activity and the hustle and the length, as we said before. He sometimes will commit, and you can drive around him. But we haven't seen a lot of that in this series. San Antonio doesn't have a lot of super quick guys anyway. It's a great series for him, who, you know, he hadn't played much down the stretch. But, you know, he said it after game one, is you never know on this squad when your time is going to come, but you know that your time is going to come. And that kind of keeps you going. And he was ready. And, you know, he's shown himself to be a real professional in that way.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of being somebody that's his time has come, Kevon Looney, just the way he's playing right now on the defensive end, getting loose balls, getting rebounds, just doing a lot of things that don't even show up in the box score. But I don't know that we saw this coming, you know, mid-season. He definitely has developed as the season has gone along, but he's playing a lot of minutes, a lot more minutes than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, and he's playing with great motivation because they didn't re-up him. And he took that to heart, and he did what you hope players will do in that situation. And no, I didn't see this coming. You figure a guy's going to be motivated when he's looking at the possible end of his Warriors career. But he has definitely taken it up a notch. He's shown some ability offensively. He's shown some skills there, but what he's in there for is to rebound, is to play defense, deflect passes with that, 7'4" wingspan. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So all that, it also takes time and playing time to understand your role on a team, and he's gotten to that point now, and you feel good about him in playoff situation. I think he averaged, 14 minutes a game during the season, and he's up to about 20 a game now. I'll have to go back and check the numbers, but it's definitely gone up in the postseason, which shows how much they trust him.
More Dubs OT after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, Kevin Durant is pretty much scoring at will in this series, 26 points in this game. We'll talk about the ankle in a moment, but just this game, he didn't really have his three-point shooting going, yet he was still able to score whenever he wanted in those drives and those pull-ups and everything that he does. And even had 9 rebounds. He was a plus 18 in the game. I mean, it's definitely one of those things where he can pretty much score whenever he wants. That's what Jim Barnett was saying on the telecast, and I agree with him. And then he goes down with that ankle, and apparently it's not all that bad from what we heard initially, but man, it didn't look very good. It looked like, oh boy, he's going to be out for a little while. So, the Warriors cannot afford to have Durant out of there, especially right now with Steph Curry out.
Well, I'm sure fans and Steve Kerr and the coaching staff, everybody, on plays like that, they just hold their breath because that's the kind of year it's been. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. And, ankle watch is ongoing, depending on the player. It's rotating. You know, it was a quick roll. He said he didn't roll it completely. He said he's good to go for Sunday. So that is a huge sigh of relief, for everybody concerned. Sounds like Livingston's is a little worse. So we'll see if he's able to make a contribution. And it's too bad because he played one of his better playoff games of his Warriors career in Game 3 and looked really bouncy. So you hope he's ready to go. But if you have to go without him, by all means, don't take any chances. Nice thing is they don't play until Sunday. And if they sweep, they get some days off after that. And, again, that's the benefit of the playoff schedule. As for Durant, I mean, there's nobody on San Antonio who can stop him. And let's talk about the elephant in the room, Kawhi Leonard. And, I mean, to me, that's the key to the whole series is he's not here. He's not playing. And down 3-0, you think he's going to come back and play that game? No.
No.
I mean, the way it is with his medical staff and the Spurs, you know, for a while there, it seemed to be they weren't on the same page. Sounds like they are now. And, you know, this is a guy who's thinking about his future. And the future may not be San Antonio down the road. So, and if it is San Antonio, he wants to make sure he's right. This is not a team that has the look of a major contender. They're a pretty good team. They're tough at home. But this does not appear to be their year. And, of course, without Kawhi, it's not going to be.
They didn't have their coach, Greg Popovich. His wife passed away tragically. You know, that's difficult for everybody to deal with over there on that side because it's emotional. You start thinking about life, and you're trying to do your job and play a basketball game. But at the same time, you know, you're close to your coach, and I'm sure she's a big part of that family and was. And it's got to be just difficult for everybody. I know I listened to a little bit of Steve Kerr talking about it, and it was touching to hear him talk about, you know, his relationship with Pop and how much he adored his wife. And it's got to be just so hard to deal with at this time of year.
Yeah, I didn't realize, you know, that it was that serious. It took me by surprise, and it's terrible, terrible news. And, of course, he didn't coach in Game 3. They had a Torrey Messina, the assistant coach out there. This is something that you wondered as they played this game, how the Spurs were handling it. They played, you know, pretty good fire early on in the game, but this is something that has to have an impact on the team. And it had an impact on Steve Kerr, as you mentioned, and other players in the Warriors and around the league. You know, LeBron James made some comments about that. You know, it's a pretty tight knit group in the NBA. We're not talking about a whole lot of people. We're talking about a few hundred, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about players and coaches. And so everybody knows everybody pretty well. And, of course, Pop is respected as a coach. And when something like this happens, it's horrible. It's horrible all the way around. And I saw Steph Curry also tweeted out his prayers as well. So that's kind of the feeling all around the league about this. And, you know, basketball takes a back seat, obviously. Our condolences go out to Greg Popovich and his family. I mean, think about it. She's been with him for so long and was along for the ride. You know, when he was an unknown assistant coach at one point with the Warriors, if memory serves, and then ends up winning 5 NBA titles and goes down as one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. I guess the word I saw from Associated Press is he was overwhelmed by all the support around the league. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, everybody did come to his support for whatever, however that helps him. I hope it does help.
Yeah, and I would think that on Sunday, if he's back on the sideline there, that it'll be very emotional for everybody involved. And, you know, maybe the Spurs come out and, you know, charged up about that and do something. But I'll tell you, to me, it looks like the Warriors have their foot on the gas pedal here. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what happened with the Sharks there when they got up against the Anaheim Ducks. They just said, you know what, we're going to sweep this series. We're playing hard. And the Warriors look that way, like, you know, they're just not going to let up, sort of like they did last year where, you know, they got ahead in a series and they were able to put those series away.
Well, nice thing for the Warriors is the Spurs don't have a Corey Perry on
a goon, right?
Yeah, to goon it up when you're about to fall behind 3-0. Although
Patty Mills, maybe
came pretty close to that on that Livingston play. That was not a basketball play. That was, you know, that was a little reckless as far as I'm concerned. There's playing hard and there's playing reckless. But maybe the Warriors look at the Sharks and say, okay, we're going to do that too. And really, you have a great incentive if you're the Warriors to sweep this thing, and you know, get some rest. get these guys, because it's not just Steph Curry. It's a bunch of guys who are dinged up, and that includes Draymond Green. And all the rest, whatever days you can get, that's gold at this point of the season.
Back with more Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
I think the biggest surprise right now in the NBA playoffs, of course, is the Pelicans being up 3-0 on the Blazers. I didn't see that coming. I mean, we all know that Anthony Davis is a great player, but we all, I think most of us covering basketball and watching the NBA, thought that, you know, without Boogie Cousins, it's going to be pretty tough for them. But it's not just Anthony Davis. I mean, they're getting contributions from several other players. And Rajon Rondo, of course, is, you know, he's a veteran, and he's kind of turned it up a notch, it seems like, in the playoffs. I mean, the next thing you know, you're up 3-0. The Pelicans could sweep that series.
They could. And, you know, they beat the Warriors at Oracle late in the season. Alvin Gentry has that club playing very well. It's to his credit. You know, one of those supporting players is Mirotić.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at him with the Bulls and thinking, this is a guy who could help a contender. He's got some skills. And, you know, he played a very good game in the last win over the Trailblazers. And one of the things they've done is they've really focused on Damian Lillard, getting him off his game, making him uncomfortable. And so far it's worked. So, I mean, Warriors still would be favored. The way the Warriors are playing, I still think they could win it in five if it comes to that. But it's a good little story and very impressive the way they've handled Portland so far.
Meanwhile, the Rockets are, you know, they're up 2-0 on Minnesota. Not surprising there. I mean, that first game, when I was watching that one, I was thinking maybe Minnesota might be able to make these games close. But, you know, it's just tough. Harden, when he wants to go one-on-one on you, it's just so difficult. I mean, you can't really stop him because he can either drive or he can just step back. And he shoots threes like they're free throws. It's kind of like Curry in a lot of ways, where it's just there's no effort to it. It's just like, yeah, you know, it's a three-pointer. I don't care. You know, it's whatever amount. I could be 30 feet out. It's like I'm shooting a 10-footer.
He's especially good when he gets an extra step off the dribble, too.
Yeah.
You know, when they allow you three steps instead of two, you can become a dominant player that way, too. I think Steve Kerr, that's like his pet peeve. And there were a couple of times in that game, Oklahoma City on Sunday, I was watching that game. It's like, really? Am I not seeing this? I mean, is that still in the rule book anymore? There were a couple of times where he got the extra step, and not just the Euro step, but the three steps. But, you know, this is the back and forth we have about James Harden. He seems to get all the breaks from the officials. It's kind of baked into their reaction now. Is if he drives the lane, they figure, oh, well, he's going to get fouled because that's what he does. And he's not afraid of the contact, and you give him credit for that. There was a time in his career where he was just trying to, you know, get the foul, not necessarily make the shot. And he shoots a lot of free throws, and he shoots them well. But he's also a tremendously skilled offensive player. He's so tough one-on-one off the dribble. And that step-back three is deadly. And, you know, he knows, you know, what he can get away with as well. So why not keep doing it? But I will say you get later on in the playoffs, and we saw this a couple of years ago, he wasn't quite getting as many calls as he was before. And I think the Warriors have a little something-something for him defensively as well. And, you know, he's had mixed success in the playoffs against the Warriors, as we know. He'll have games where he's not effective at all, and then he'll go out for 45. But by then, it's too late. And, of course, there was that one game where he had a chance to take the shot at the end, and he couldn't even get the shot off. The Warriors were all over him defensively. and he missed his one window where he didn't take the shot. I think he threw it out to the center, and then the center tossed it back to him, and it was too late. But he's going to be MVP and probably deserves it this year. But, man, if you get later in the postseason, watch the officiating, because sometimes it gets a little tighter. Sometimes he doesn't quite get the calls that he gets earlier in the postseason. And I think, there's been a lot of talk about how the Rockets have run through everybody this year and they beat the Warriors and all that. That means nothing when you get to the Western Conference Finals if those two teams meet.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Since you mentioned, the possibility of traveling, did you see Anderson on that one where he dribbled, picked up his dribble, and then dribbled again, and they didn't call? That was one of the worst calls of the year.
Or non-calls, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. To not call it, exactly. I mean, that's a double dribble.
Yeah, and this guy's nickname at UCLA was Slow-Mo. All right, so he said it in real time, it isn't even that fast, and they still missed it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know sometimes what these guys are looking at. I think part of it is, they, and this is me making an excuse for the officials, they have so much to look at. Sometimes they don't see the obvious that's in front of them. And that was one of those times, and it's pretty embarrassing when that happens.
And here's another one from another series that really kind of shook me up a little bit. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony 0-14 in the fourth quarter of that loss the other day against Utah. Wow, that is just amazing.
Yeah, I did not see that coming, and what a big win for Utah. And they're another club that's, kind of scary this time of the year. They're playing really good basketball. But, I mean, those are the three guys, right? If they're not clicking, they're cooked. But it comes and it goes for them. I still think OKC can win this series, but Utah is very tough. And man, Donovan Mitchell, you see that one play, the spin move in the lane late to it was the biggest buck of the game, I think. And he did the spin move in the lane, and in one motion, not losing control or anything, hits a floater. that's a kid that is unafraid. And so that's a little scary, too. This is his first playoff experience, and he's taking the bull by the horns. So I think if you're the Warriors, you're looking for all these other series to go as long as possible.
Right. And then you get some rest before you go into the next one. I mean, yeah, that's why you're almost rooting for the Blazers to win the next game against the Pelicans. But looking ahead to this game on Sunday for Golden State, what do you think they need to improve on? I mean, obviously, they're clamping down on the defense, as I said before, and they're counting on Durant like we thought, and Iguodala has stepped up, Livingston has stepped up. Is there anybody that you're kind of pointing at and saying, you know what, this guy needs to do a little bit more? Any improvements that you'd like to see here in Game 4?
Not necessarily. I mean, one of the things they've done really well is take care of the basketball, right? That was a problem throughout the season. They've been very good on the boards. They've been efficient offensively. I think that there may be a bench player that gets a little more time if Livingston is out. It might be Nick Young, although he hasn't played much in this series because Steve Kerr wants better defenders out there. But, maybe that's a guy who's going to need to step up in Game 4 and make a contribution if they're a little thin at guard. But beyond that, almost all the cylinders are firing, and that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and I think you're playing. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're right about the turnovers. That was the thing. First half, maybe it was game two, where they had think, like 11 of them, and I think that is a key that they've sort of shored that up.
Yeah, that first half, I was thinking to myself, well, they did the thing that got them in big trouble during the regular season, and they're only down by a couple. You know, that's real trouble for San Antonio, and sure enough, it ended up being. And, you know, third quarters are the NBA may try to legislate out third quarters because of the Warriors. They're so effective. That was the case in game three, too. They just kind of gradually pull away. And, you know, as long as they're doing a better job of taking care of the basketball, they're hitting the boards, and the defensive effort is there, they're going to sweep the Spurs.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. So look forward to next week and thinking about a new series, hopefully. Hopefully, if the Warriors sweep this thing on Sunday, they'll have next week to start thinking about, you know, whether it's the Pelicans or the Blazers.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see the Pelicans. I think it'd be great for Alvin Gentry and great for New Orleans. And, you know, too bad what happened with Boogie Cousins, but a great little story here that's developing. I know a lot of people in the Bay Area. I'd like to see Damian Lillard. And, you know, it's always been a compelling playoff series. I mean, the last one where the Warriors won in five, that was the closest five-game series I've ever seen. Personally, I'd like to see it with Gentry. On the way back from Cleveland, he was on the plane, same plane as me, after they won their first championship in 2015, and he was on his way to New Orleans. Leaving the plane, I said, good luck, coach, and he said, thank you. You know, and he took a lot of greetings and well wishes as people got off that flight, and they recognized him. And good guy and a good coach who's, you know, coached a lot of bad teams. So it's nice to see him have a little success anyway.
Yeah.
And, of course, he does have that one ring, so he has a little success.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, thank goodness for DVR, because I was able to watch the Warriors, and now I'm going to watch the Giants. And you didn't tell me who won, which is good, because I love the drama of watching a game late at night on DVR and not knowing. Uh-huh. Of course, I can't go on Twitter until later, because that would ruin everything.
Right. Right, yeah. Well, usually that's an evergreen sentence. Going on Twitter can ruin everything, no matter what you're doing. That's probably the wise move there. All I can say is there's a ridiculous replay there. Okay?
All right, I'm sure we'll be talking about that on our Giants podcast next week.
Yes, we will.
In the meantime, have a great weekend, Ray.
All right, you too, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.